The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of Mid-America Radio Group, Indiana's Best Radio Management, employees, advertisers, or sponsors.
It is 8:05 at 12:30 WSAL, 36 degrees downtown Logansport on a what's going to be a windy, blustery, rainy day. That's Indiana. Mayor Dave Kitchell in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm fantastic.
Great. They say in the children's book, a very terrible, horrible day.
Exactly. Yeah. A no good. Yes. Yes. Love that book. Good stuff.
It is a great book.
Well, good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
And got through the holidays, okay?
We've made it in one piece.
That's good. That's good. And the kids had a good Christmas.
Yeah. Did your kids enjoy it as well?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Very much so.
Good.
Very much so.
Yeah, they liked everything we got them. No complaints. Mm-hmm. Santa did well at our address. So he must have got the address right.
Very good. Yeah. So what are we talking about this morning? I figure we'll talk about the city of Logansport and what's going on.
Sure. Well, we have the State of the City Luncheon and State of the County Luncheon coming up next week.
Okay.
On Wednesday at Angie's Catering. I expect it'll be a great crowd. We had a tremendous turnout last year. And really looking forward to that. Our first city council meeting of the year was last night. And we had a few things that came through there. Maybe, I guess, one of the things that people know who's going to lead the council this year, who are the committees going to be. And the council has decided to retain their president, Teresa Pope Joy, as in office for another year. And all the committee chairs will continue as well. And I think for this group, this is probably a good thing because if you had council members who had served a lot of years, going through the chairs of the lodge, so to speak, is a good thing because you learn how the entire city works and you specialize in a lot of different areas. But everybody's fairly new to their job. The only people that have served before are Teresa and Larry Hood, who filled out a term. So I think this is a good thing for our folks. Dave Morris will continue as chairman of utilities. Amy Densborn at Parks, and Matt Mayer on Rules. So I think that's part of what's going to continue forward. And then they reappointed their members to Logansport Plan Commission. But we did approve a resolution to apply for a grant from the Indiana State Department of Health for a community-wide pedestrian and bicycle master plan. And, in these days, connectivity and being able to ride or walk or skateboard or whatever you're going to do, rollerblade through a community is healthier for you. And we're applying for that grant money. It was passed unanimously last night, so we're looking forward to that. And then the people across from, Charbet's owners, their Havrilescos, had incurred some legal expenses to change the zoning across the street from Charbet's, the drive-in that they've owned for years. And that property, without their knowledge, was rezoned. So that was not during our watch. But what we did do was go back and approve, and we suspended rules to do that on two readings, both last night, an ordinance to rezone the 4.7 acres of property. It used to be the Don O'Neill property home. I was an attorney here for many years. And that's been zoned into two different parcels there for neighborhood residential and another zoning ordinance. But I guess the greater issue here is that when property is rezoned around you, if you're an adjoining property owner, if it's in your neighborhood, how should you be notified about that? Should you know if there's a big box store coming in across the street from you? Well, right. My answer is yes, because it affects your property values. It affects the neighborhood and maybe the crime and the noise and the lighting and especially the traffic, I think, is a big deal, too. So I think this was a teaching moment for the council, the planning department, and all of us that this one kind of slipped through the cracks on not only the Havrilescos, but I think the community. And when you're going to own property, you better darn well be notified if it's going to be zoned out from underneath you. Mm-hmm. And I told the Havrilescos last night, I've covered planning and zoning in this city for 25 years. I've been to a lot of Board of Zoning Appeals meetings, Plan Commission meetings. I have never seen this happen to property owners before. So I think one of the things that we have to do is ensure that this kind of thing really never happens again, because it does have an effect on the marketability of your property and also the surrounding property owners and what they want to do. Now we have the other property is zoned B4 general business, and it will hopefully develop more at the north entrance of the city on Indiana 25. Obviously, traffic is a concern there at that intersection. It's a very busy intersection with Charbetz and Chase Road and Michigan Avenue, kind of all conglomerating there in one spot.
Yes.
But clearly, there are some things the north side of Logansport just doesn't have, and I think by virtue of the growth that we've had out there in Houston Park and Chase Park, that you're going to see more things locate there in the near future. So we also approved an ordinance that renewed our commitment to the Cass County Historical Society. I believe it's $8,000 to pay for their utility costs. And this is something that happened. It was started, actually, more than one administration ago when the county was faced with some massive budget cuts because of the state funding drops around 2008 when we went through the economic downturn. And the county suspended its underwriting for the county's historical society. And so the city has picked this up, and we've continued it. And this is good not only for Logansport Municipal Utilities, but the NIPSCO bill as well at the Historical Society. So we're grateful to do that. And by the way, we want to really give a shout out to Jeannie Jones and the Historical Society for their work on getting the Revere restored. And Jeannie's notified me that it's close to being back on the streets again here in the near future. So, you know, what other town in America has a 1920 classic automobile made in their city and a Batmobile manufactured in their city?
True.
You know, that's one of the Logansport things that we have, but they've done a great job. We raised the money when I was president of the museum back in 1999 to bring it back here in June, and $66,000 later, we had ourselves a classic automobile and the only one of its kind, and it still is. But
The thing about that car is you can't just go buy parts for it.
It has to be made. Yeah. Everything has to be forged originally, but it's a great symbol for our city, because when you stop and think that at one point what they call the world's most incomparable car was manufactured right here in Logansport. It wasn't in Detroit. It wasn't in Europe. It was right here on the banks of the Wabash. And that's a good thing for our labor force to kind of take into account, I think. So we did all that last night. And the one thing we didn't do, and I was a little disappointed in the council that we didn't pass this, but we will not be taking Martin Luther King Day as a city holiday this year. That doesn't mean that people can't take it. And in the schools, of course, it's not a holiday. If you do want to get out for special observances, you can. But we're going to take a look at that for next year. Right now, we have three floating holidays, and Stacy Cox and I had talked about, changing that up a little bit. And we've been advised by President Pope Joy that, that was our call. But upon further review, as they say, we learned that actually it's an ordinance that does not include what's in the city handbook. So they're in conflict there. And we're going to try to get that straightened out next year. But I guess our situation is this, that Logansport Schools now has a winter break. And that winter break includes President's Day on that Monday. So we wanted to observe that to give our city employees a day off with their children, if they have school children or grandchildren in some cases, and incorporate that. The second thing was that, Martin Luther King Day is a day it's observed by the federal government, it's observed by the state government, and now in Cass County, it's observed by the county government because the courts are closed, prosecutor's office is closed, probation is a state, it's closed. Mm-hmm. So, I think we can do that as well. I think the council's argument is that if the utilities are open, that we should be open, that the whole building should be open, but I think we need to take a look at that further next year, because it sends a statement, I think, to our kids about how much we value the contributions, not only that Martin Luther King made, but that our society is a multicultural society.
Sure.
And it's only as strong as every minority in this country. And what Martin Luther King did is something that should be certainly celebrated. So that's what we didn't do last night. We did have some good news late yesterday that I want to share, and that is that we received confirmation from the state that our assessed valuation of Logansport, the value of everything in Logansport, actually increased last year by $19 million. And that's over 5%. So That for 1 year, when you look at the fact that we're growing faster than inflation, that's a positive sign, I think, for our community. Not all of that, I think, is the pure growth that you'd experience, because we did include some of the TIF districts in there last year that we hadn't before. But still, that growth at that pace is outstripping a lot of the state, and that's a positive sign for us.
That's phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. And you look at the Hometown Collaboration Initiative that we've been doing, and I want to plug the work that Michelle Dials and Zach Zamera have been doing, along with Bill Cuppy, for some time. But we are close to the 2,000 survey mark, and we're already well past the state record for participation in Hometown Collaboration Initiative. And our regional representative for the Office of Community and Rural Affairs from the state said, you know, you have to realize that there are larger cities that are involved in this, and counties, entire counties do this. Mm-hmm. But nobody has the kind of participation that we've had here.
Right.
And I think this is a good sign that there are a lot of people that want to be stakeholders in the future of the community, and they want to steer it in the right way. And
absolutely,
they see that this is a kind of a critical point in history, and they're buying on board. But Michelle does have several paper surveys that have to be counted yet, that included in there and tabulated, and we don't have the final numbers, but we'll be close to 2,000. Mm-hmm. And of course, they were done in English and Spanish, which is, again, the number of Spanish surveys indicates the minority element in our community that is significant, and that gets back to the Martin Luther King Day observance, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing. Before the regular city council meeting last night, we had a hearing on an application for a community development block grant for the Memorial Center renovation. And interesting comments, I guess, made in a number of ways. But former Memorial Center board members Carol Pasquale, Tom Sheets were there. They testified. We also had some testimony, I think it was passionate testimony, from Marilyn Worst of Boondockers. And you know, I'm sympathetic to business owners. My dad was a small business owner and one for a long time. Didn't get government incentives, didn't get government programs. We're in a situation here, however, where if you're operating a banquet hall downtown and you're worried about what's going to happen with Memorial Center, I don't think we're going to have reservations floating the Memorial Center every day for use as a banquet hall. It's a weekend venue, maybe, a facility. But I would, I guess, challenge people that think that we're in competition with different facilities here, that really there's a lot of demand for those facilities in this community if you can provide the service. There just aren't right now a lot of people that provide that service for large banquets, weddings, gatherings. And a lot of them, because of that, the receptions are going back to churches. They're being held there. Looked at some interesting information the other day about comparing Logansport to Lafayette, the demographics. Logansport, you're 12 times more likely to go to church here than you are in Lafayette. And I think it just speaks to the strength of our congregation and, mm-hmm. and the venues that we have. We have some very large places, like the All Saints Parish Hall downtown now is one of them. And Angie's Catering is a for-profit one, obviously, but Calvary Presbyterian and the Methodist Church, and First United Methodist, and now, of course, Crosswind. So we got some large venues. So I think the crux of the grant hearing, though, was that if we can get the county to match what the city has already pledged in TIF funding, which is $62,500, we can leverage that to get $500,000 in community development block grant funding from the state of Indiana. And what this would do would just take care of all the masonry and the structural work that has to be done at the Memorial Center to stabilize that building. There are things that need to be done, like electrical. There are obviously, which is not part of this plan, but the ADA access is a big part of it. The bathrooms need to be made more modern. And there are things like electrical service that really need to be addressed in what's going on. Now, you know, where are we at in that process? Well, there is a master plan that was created in 2010, and That was never forwarded, and it's kind of obsolete right now. So what we've done is gone back and updated that master plan with the consultants involved. We've also moved ahead with plans to put heating, ventilation, air conditioning in that building. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of the problem here, it's a chicken and egg thing. People say, well, why would we want to put money in that building? Because it never made money before.
Right.
Well, that building has a lot of limitations and had a lot of limitations. And ADA accessibility was one of them. But the second was it was never air conditioned. And it never made for a great venue for a wedding reception, any kind of summer event.
Yeah.
And now with this, it changes the dynamic of what you can offer there quite a bit. So this is something Mike Mordeni has been working up there to get temporary heat in that building. We've already drained the pipes this winter so they won't freeze and cause more problems. You remember last year the boiler burst and we don't have services of the boiler up there anymore. So we have to do this. And I think Emir Gonzalez-Velez, our city attorney, made a great point last night. You know, it's not a matter of choosing between, say, a Boondockers or Angie's Catering and the Memorial Center. We're under a court order to maintain this war memorial and improve it. And that's the state law. It's the World War I memorial. And Kathleen Weisenberger, who's our grants administrator for the city, made a point, too, in that, you know, this building will be 100 years old in 1922, the new part of it, which is where most of the banquets and events are held. And it'll be great to have that finished in time for the 100th year celebration of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other thing that maybe people who haven't been up to speed so much on what's happening up there may not know is that Jim Saylors and I came up with an idea, our county commissioner's president, early in our relationship as mayor and county commissioner's president, and that is, you know, why not make this a 501c3? Why not make this a venue where people can contribute to this and get a tax write-off?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, will encourage a lot of groups that have not done it before, maybe even some corporations, to donate to this. And that would spur, you know, grant writing opportunities for us as well to secure funding from other places as a nonprofit organization. So we have a five-member board that met for the first time last week. Perry Gay, myself, Mike Fincher is the president, Mike Sims is on there, and Terry Dorn from the city council, and two representatives from the city, two from the county, and then one that's jointly appointed by Jim Saylors and myself. So we're excited about the potential we have for that building this year. If we secure that block grant, if we get the HVAC done, then I think we're giving our downtown another reason to have a magnet on weekends when people aren't working downtown. We can get people downtown to enjoy events. And it also kind of supplements what's already going on at the churches downtown, at the Baptist Temple or at the Trinity Episcopal Church or at Calvary and Trinity Lutheran, as well as All Saints. So that's where we're at with that. And I think it's going to be a productive year for the center. It's going to be a roll up your sleeves and get to work year, but I'm actually kind of excited about it. I think it's going to be a great year for them.
Absolutely. And it sounds like I like the idea people can donate to mm-hmm. it and get a tax write-off for it. That's good thinking on your guys' part.
Yeah. Well, we're trying, and that's a way to, you know, keep the tax burden down on the building, but it also encourages some corporate underwriting and private individuals who want to leave money in their estates or their tax checks for us to do that.
And was there some work going on up there this week?
Yes, Mike Mordeni is up there getting the windows taken care of so we can get hot air circulating through the building so that we don't cause any more damage that's weather-related in that building. This time of year is just deadly to a building that doesn't have heat in it, especially when it's that old.
Yeah.
But I think the temporary heat situation is good for us, and we've, you know, notified our police department, you know, do extra patrols up there. We don't want break-ins. We want this to be secure. And I think we're heading about as fast as we can at this point.
We had our wedding reception there in 2003. And I guess we were lucky because it was the beginning of September. And it can go either way at that time of year. It can either be really hot or it can be bearable. And fortunately for us, it was pretty bearable. But I know it was setting up for it. It was really hot during the day because, you know, you're right. There was no air in there. And it was pretty warm getting set up for it.
It's not bad for an evening event.
No.
But for a daytime event, it's a little bit stuffy in there.
Yeah, so absolutely. Yep. All right, we're going to take a break. And you going to stick around?
Sure.
All right, we'll have more with Logansport Mayor Dave Kitchell on the way on 1230 WSAL. This is Talk of the Town. It's 8:34 at 1230 WSAL. It's Talk of the Town for a Tuesday. Mayor Dave Kitchell in the studio.
Well, we're back for, as they say, a night court. Criminal court part two is now in session.
That's right.
So there you go.
Night court. That's a blast from the past.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Love that show.
Yep. All right. So what else is going on?
Well, we're, I guess, give you a little preview of coming attractions for 2017. And I mentioned earlier that next week is the State of the City Luncheon, the State of the County Luncheon at Angie's. And if you haven't made your reservations, please call the chamber and speak to Teresa at 722-5988. She doesn't need beauty sleep, but she'll be probably there right now. And I'm sure all lines are open on the switchboard at the chamber. So light that chamber switchboard up. But what we're going to be talking about are some of the things going on. I guess the main thing, the theme that you can kind of see evolving is the city and county cooperation that we've had in the last year. Mm-hmm. And that's been the thing that, you know, people said before we didn't have it. Well, now we've got it, and we've not only got it, but we've got, I think, a very strong relationship between city and county government in a lot of ways. And we're talking in more ways. And, you know, this isn't like it is in a lot of communities because the people involved aren't getting along because they work together or because they go to church together or because they go to a bar together or because they're related. They just want to do it because it's the right thing. And I'm saying that for Democrats and Republicans, city and county alike. I think it's a very good situation right now. And hopefully this really bodes well for us in the coming 3 and 4 years and maybe for the rest of the decade. But I think you know, one of the things that we're going to talk about is we're going to wrap up the Hometown Collaboration Initiative this year. We're about midway through it right now, and the people that are part of it, and I really appreciate their contributions because they can't be paid for it, and yet they're going to be spending, all told, 100 hours apiece on this planning process. And so this is not something we took lightly, and we are in the middle of it, but you know, once we get this done, that positions us well in the latter part of this year to put together another stellar application and update the one that was done previously and really go after that designation. So we're happy about that. And yesterday, you know, part of what Stellar would allow us to do is to apply for more money for our main intersections here in town. We're looking at sidewalks and street lights for Michigan Avenue and Burlington Avenue to really improve those two main entrances to the community so that they look more inviting. And that funding is out there. And we spoke with our engineer and grants administrator yesterday about that, and we're optimistic about that. We are going to retain a retail recruiter sometime this year to help us with the mall. And there are different approaches out there. Obviously, the mall now has been sold twice in 2 years, but for whatever reason, the deals haven't come to pass. I think the people that are out there now, in fact, I heard from another one yesterday, are interested in different approaches to how to skin this cat, to say that we're going to, you know, find the right retail mix that complements what we've got here already, that, you know, find a developer that's got some money to invest in this infrastructure that we've got here. This is not a hard site to redevelop because You've already got the roads there. You've got the retail around it. You've got commuter paths going through their retail trade zone. It's well-defined. And you just have to basically come up with a plan to get from where you are to where you want to be and get the right commitment of resources and stores there, and we can do it. But we're going to spend a lot of time up front, probably in the first 3 months of this year, in finding the right person or group of people to do that and then move forward. And that has to happen as well. I think they'll help us out downtown. I think they'll help us out in the heartland because we just don't have the kind of presence there that we want to have yet. And we're improving, but we're not there yet.
It does feel like that whole East End is just, it's right on the doorstep of becoming something really, really special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really does.
And, you know, some places, when you lose a highway designation, you lose the traffic and you lose the significance. But because of all the residential area, the schools, mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to lose it out there. I think that's the niche of Logansport that is unto itself, that's not going to depend on a federal highway to make it happen. Unfortunately, for some retailers, that's a bigger deal.
Right.
But as far as the downtown goes, something that most people may not know, we've had a great year with the downtown. We've had 10 new businesses open downtown this year. Plus, we've had the Trine Campus dedicated downtown. We've had the mural on the side of the jewelry store there and at Fernbaugh's. And those are the kinds of things, along with a courthouse renovation project being finished. We're really heading in the right direction. The State Theater gets its designation as a 501c3. And now the Logan Square project, if we get that funded in March, that will help a good portion of that. So some good things happening. We are going to continue to look at annexing the Logansport State Hospital and Unger Addition and Chieftain Row areas, and we're putting together some data right now on that and how to proceed. It will take some help from the county to make this happen. We've had USDA here already this year to help us with grant information on that. The one thing that people look at the cost of this and hooking up, and we're trying to make this a cost-benefit thing, not only for the city, but also for the residents that are out there and the businesses, because they have the right to veto an annexation. And if it doesn't make economic sense for them, it's not going to happen. So what we are trying to do is lock in with a community development block grant for that area. And the city has, I believe, 3 slots for that. The county has 2. So it may be that the county is the lead dog on that block grant, but that's $500,000 plus other funding, and we hope to get that in there to expand the system and also to provide service to climbers, which really needs it. We're going to continue our blight elimination program for the older homes. We mentioned Memorial Center already. We want to work on the Trellborg case in federal court, continuing the opponent for the insurance company. And the Trellborg case has changed to attorneys, and that's kind of slowed down the progress in that case. I hope that we can wrap that up this year and prepare that site for solar power reuse. And I've had some conversations with Dave Morris. It's in his ward, and that's a positive, I think, to do that. A lot of things happening outside of town if we get that going, because Exide is coming down. They've already worked on that. And we're looking at also doing a Safe Routes to Schools program for that area, which some people call Bucktown. It's Washington Street behind Franklin School and between Franklin and Columbia there, to get kids a safer, lighted route to walk to and from school or ride their bikes down there. And it may be along the right of way of the rail spur there as well. It would be nice to connect the River Bluff Trail on 6th and Michigan there to the west side and then on to the Panhandle Pathway at France Park, if we can get closer to that reality. And that's part of what Aaron Shaver's work on this pedestrian state health grant will do, is to come up with a plan to connect all our trails together. We're close to launching our revamped city website, and we may have it ready next week. We just have one thing at our end here with our computer people to help us out, our technology people end-to-end. And as soon as we get that worked out, we can launch our new website live. And I think people are going to be amazed at the speed that this thing will work. It's going to be more complete. offer a lot of information and a lot of one-stop shopping. It'll be much easier to pay a utility bill now than before. And I think Rich Voorhees has done an outstanding job in getting the graphics, the department heads, just scenes from the community out there on the website. And people are going to appreciate the way that we're represented on there. We are going to look at improving the internet access for not just Logan support, but for rural areas of the county. And what some people may not, I guess, recognize so easily is Metronet, which is a former subsidiary of Synergy, one of the forerunners of Duke Energy, has really actively built up their clientele in Logan Sport, but they're mostly major customers, the newspaper, the city, Chase Park, the schools, the hospital, and we need to look at providing that service for other people in the community, because when you look across Indiana right now, if you can run an overlay of hotspots for Wi-Fi and population growth, you'll see that they are going hand in hand, that's a service that the metrics show that the growth areas are really demanding. So we do have something we're going to be announcing soon. And
now, are we talking going back to like citywide Wi-Fi that was approached several years ago?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, because broadband itself is cheap to install. There's not much on it, but the trick to broadband that we're finding out, and this happened in Crawfordsville, is that, you know, Crawfordsville jumped on board with this right away. And, of course, you got Wabash College. It's a very educated, high-dollar community. Mm-hmm. And Crawfordsville ended up selling their Wi-Fi system because they couldn't do it at a profit. And when you're losing money with that, you don't want to just keep, you know, red inking it every single year.
Right.
And so they sold it to somebody that could make a profit at it, that could invest in the system and really do what needed to be done. So you have to be careful, and I think there's a time to do that. You know, many years ago, we had a chance to buy the cable franchise here in Logan Sport, and there was some support for LMU to do that. And later on, Klaus Hemberger said, you know, there was a time to do that, but I think that time has passed. That window is closed, because cable now is becoming a larger industry, and you're going to see conglomeration. And you've seen that here with Comcast. Mm-hmm. I think you may see that with Wi-Fi in the near future here. But, you know, our local utility could provide that service. I think what we have to explore here is, you know, I have no problem with a private sector doing that. But if we're going to provide our conduit for it in terms of poles, most communities now will get a fee for the use of that pole from the internet provider. And yes, we want the internet service out there, and it's a plus for the community, but we have to explore, you know, how we can best implement that and what's going to best serve the community.
Okay.
Yeah. So the thing we worked on a lot in the last 8 months that we're preparing to announce to the public and release is that we have now completed the inventory of the updated historic homes and structures for Logan Sport, City of Logan Sport. And this updates the 1984 plan that was done. You're going to be able to go online soon and look at a number of structures that qualify for the National Register of Historic Places. And hopefully, I would like to introduce to the council something that is an incentive program to fix up these homes and structures, because, number one, when you have historic preservation that is really done well, it adds to your property tax base and your assessed value, and it keeps your taxes low. And it also improves your housing stock in the community and your housing values. But it's part of the character of the community when you see the historic homes that we have. And there's a lot, of course, in the East End and along the Riverside District, but you're going to find some on the West Side. You're going to find an old church on Sherman Street and the old German settlement on Clinton Street. So there's a lot throughout the community that maybe you don't really even think of that is historic. Even the drive-through at 6th and High Street there, where actually 6th and Ray Street, that drive-through building was an old Texaco station, qualifies for the National Register as a historic structure. So Charbette's qualifies
right
now. It's built before 1966.
So what are the qualifications?
There has to be a structural significance there. And believe it or not, even certain kinds of national homes, which we used to think of national homes built in Lafayette as just prefab homes. Mm-hmm. But there were certain kinds of national homes that were built that were architecturally significant. And there are a couple of those in this community up by the high school along, I believe, Emmett Drive in through there that, yeah. that qualify yeah. for that kind of designation. So a number of different things. Yeah, you're going to have some Italianate houses. And I think one of the things about this report, too, is it identifies homes and structures that have disappeared since 1984 that were historically significant. And we're losing another one now at 10th and Market Street for the Y expansion, the mansion that was up there. So, yeah, I mean, progress has a way of taking some of these things out of the picture and what you want to preserve and what you don't. And this is one of the times to kind of take stock of all that. But that'll be available to be accessed online probably before the end of the year. And the nice thing about this the software, and Carmel has used the same one. There are a lot of communities that are using it, but you can get online and sort by era of home, by ones that are for sale, neighborhood, significance, architecture, any number of little characteristics. But you can see on a map, you know, what's near your house and what's significant.
Hmm.
So I'm kind of excited about that. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
We also are going to be continuing our work on cost savings programs for energy. And I think maybe I've said this to you before, but you know, this year we were able to offer raises to city employees because we rebid our health insurance with the county, and we were able to keep our costs down and reduce those. But this next year, I think we'll be able to offer raises and increases simply because we're going after energy savings in street lighting, in the city building, in the 17 buildings that we operate as a city, a parks department, a fire station, police station, the prompt ambulance station at 22nd Street, all these buildings, as well as, you know, the parks office, the Riverside McHale Community Complex, they have some energy issues. And if we can address those issues, and we have with performance control people that know how to address these things, as the school corporation has done, you know, we can save some significant money, and we want to reinvest some of that in races, but also like new street lighting for the Boulevard and for Riverside Park and for Dykeman Park, and maybe even for Erie Avenue on some of the areas like 12th and Erie, that will really improve that. And as we make this turn, LED lighting now is coming into the era of municipal lighting and street lighting. And what this means is that we can extend the value of our lighting. So we have plans now for 18th Street, for instance. We need to extend it out to the heartland so that when you exit off the heartland, you're going to have street lighting, you know, leading to those intersections when it's pitch black out and you're getting a middle of a snowstorm. You need yeah. to be able to see where the heck you're going. And I think we're going to be able to do that. But that's one of the things Mercedes and I have been working on and spending a lot of time on. We're finding, too, and I don't know if you found this out with your Christmas wrapping in the last couple of weeks, but I certainly did, that the recycling has just started to overflow everywhere. It's a lot of recycling going on, and that's a good thing. And it's especially good because it's reducing what we dump into the landfill and what we're charged for our contract. But what other communities are doing, and Kokomo and West Lafayette are among them, is that they're going to these recycling toters now. Like, we have a trash toter, but instead of having, say, a pickup every week, you get a pickup every 2 weeks. And instead of an 18-gallon tub, which you have now, you'll get a 60-gallon toter, which you can put out every 2 weeks, and that should take care of a lot of the problem. Mm-hmm. And Republic Services is working with us to maybe restructure our contract so that we can absorb the cost of getting all those toters, first of all. And secondly, they would have a new truck system that automatically lifts up the toters when you load them on, and it dumps them out. And West Lafayette has had this for some time.
So instead of the smaller tubs, we'd have
right.
a bigger...
Okay. Right. And we had issues with, you know, people in Logansport are very resourceful when it comes to recycling. I will say that much. They have actively participated in recycling for a long time, and we have the drop-off bins too. But it's gotten to the point that they're doing such a good job now that we're getting things that are blowing out of the bins.
Right.
They're getting knocked over. Sometimes animals get into them looking for something to eat.
Yep.
You get a good windstorm, you're going to find your recycling strewn about the street.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to contain a lot of that problem, and it's going to allow you to keep it there. And you don't have to worry about it 26 times a year instead of 52, which is kind of convenient too.
It is. I have a fence that faces the west, and on a really windy day, then it will collect, you know, various pieces of recycling and things like that, you know.
Yeah.
It's no one's fault. It just is what it is.
And, you know, plastic milk jugs, I think, are the worst thing because they collapse very easily, but they become these stealth bombers when they're blown out of these tubs and they're blowing all over creation, and sometimes cans as well. We're going to work on a gateway sign for the Heartland so we have more of a presence out there. And we're going to try to get a gas station, obviously, out there and a place to eat. But we're working on a Mount Hope master plan. And this is part of our capital improvement plan so that, you know, actuarially we know that we'll have the money and the space to expand Mount Hope Cemetery here for the foreseeable decades, that we'll be able to meet the needs that we're going to have to expand Mount Hope Cemetery, which is now the third largest public cemetery in the state of Indiana.
Wow.
And that's a lot of maintenance.
Wow.
It's a huge amount of maintenance, a lot of even damaged tombstones that are up there that have just stood the test of time, but we've got it's a huge maintenance part of our budget. The streets are not on our street inventory, and so they have to be maintained out of that budget as well. We have a lot of summer help that works up there, but they do a very good job, and our chapel up there really has not been modernized since it was built in the 1970s. So it's showing some age as well, and we need to do some things up there, but it's been well managed over the years, and we need to address that. So that, as well as the five-year parks master plan, we want to look at a number of things, and one of those things is a new ballpark complex at Fairview Park, making sure that the fields are you know, worthy of tournaments that the league has had over there. And I know the Youth Baseball League did an outstanding job of hosting Cal Ripken over there a number of times.
Mm-hmm.
And our former Parks Administrator, Jan Fawley, had a lot to do with that as well. But, you know, it's when you travel around to these other cities, and especially people that have done, you know, the all-star teams, they've been to St. John, they've been to Crown Point, and a lot of these communities where they have the new complexes, it's clear that if Logan Sport wants to be a player in these kinds of tournaments in the future, that we're going to have to invest in these facilities again. And we've done it through donations in the past, but we're going to have to do something, I think, to share some common costs and really improve the parks. Now, there was some talk at some point of like taking part of Fairview Park in the green and putting a new ballpark in there. I don't think that's going to happen, but I do think there's space over there to you know, coordinate the parking and the concessions, the restrooms, and the practice fields and the mounds, all that sort of thing, and do it a little bit better than what we have right now. So we're going to take a look at some of those things, as well as Riverside Park, improving the restrooms and the drainage issues that we have at Riverside and some other places to see what we can do. So that's what we've got on tap for 17. We're always taking, obviously, email responses. Call us at our office. We try to get out in the community, even eat at restaurants around the community every week to see, you know, what's going on. We try to be approachable and accessible to people that have concerns. And so far, so good for this year. I think it's going to be a great year for us. I think that, you know, what people have told us from other communities is that they hear great things about what's going on in Logan Sport and Cass County, and that the cooperation here is really a good blueprint for what other communities should be doing.
Very good. We'll keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Appreciate you having me.
All right. Mayor Dave Kitchell on Talk of the Town on 1230 WSAL. That'll do it for today. Tomorrow, we'll talk to Rick Crawley and Dave Workman with their weekly Wednesday visits. Until then, have a great day. Later.